The following presentation was recorded live at the River Worship Center in Warsaw, Indiana. We now join the message already in progress.
And hack foul a guy to death and say, we're not going to be able to stand before the Lord and say, because it's going to be there. It's going to be there in black and white. You know, the writing, the handwriting against us, it may be in black and white, but you know the cool thing about it is you can get it under the blood and it'll disappear like it was written with vanishing ink before the Lord. Amen? Isn't that an awesome thing? We'd like to welcome those of you joining us on the broadcast this morning. Once again, we've had a mini teaching before you got here, or when you weren't here, you couldn't see it before we got online, but we had a mini teaching. Just post over here. Some of you are represented here. Now, there's more to this just than just a chair, but some of you are represented right here. One, that's an empty chair, but two, you have to, you know, ask some of the people that are here today, hey, what did he do with that chair that was so significant that changed the course of the message? Amen? Amen? Changing the course. And if I think we're in a place right now where we need to change course as a world, as a country, you know, as a nation, you know, as a county and as a city, we need a course correction. And that course correction does not happen here. This chair cannot correct its own course. This chair can affect no other action unless somebody sits in it and the leg gives out. And that's not pretty. We used to think it was fun in school to pull the chair out from underneath people before they sat down. Now that you get a little bit older, that's not so fun. I don't know that it really ever was. All right? So, okay. So we ask again, what a perspective of God? What picture, what image of God do we have in our minds, in our hearts? When we go to pray, are we praying to some invisible thing that we can't see, we can't hear, we can't feel, we can't touch? Because the writer of Hebrews says that he was touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Don't encourage the pastor today because he's just telling you the truth. Don't encourage him. You don't want to hear this because when we are going through something, he said he would never leave us. He would never forsake us. He would be with us always, even until the end of the age. And that means that whatever you're going through, he's right there with you. And the most of the time, we don't do what our little grandchildren do. Hey, there's a gumball machine. There's a prize machine. Papa, give me a quarter. No, I'm not saying God's going to give you a quarter every time you ask for one. Because some of you ain't asked for him for a quarter in about, you know, 50 years. There was a song went out about 50 years ago. Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? You see, our tastes have increased. Our wants have increased, right? But if we knew our Lord. You know, I don't know if anybody saw I put a post out there on Facebook this week, and I just threw it out there. It's weird to me in my heart, and I just threw it out there. It says, those who believe and know their God, who know their God. Come on. Now that's more than just, well, I believe in Jesus. The devil believes in Jesus. That's more than just, I believe in God. The devil believes in God, and he ain't going to heaven. Daniel wrote to us, those who know their God are going to be strong. I don't know if we can get to the rest of that or not. We're working on the strong part, let alone doing exploits. Saved you a seat. How are you going to do any exploits there? I love you enough to tell you the truth. This is your seat. Where are you? Now, I know you can't seriously be golfing today. They won't let you on when it's under 30 degrees. You hurt the grass. I hope some of you got more sense than to be fishing today. The only time I go out when it's cold is when there's an ice shanty involved. And sometimes a television. Underwater camera. Beef stew. And heaters. Let me just tell you something. If you were supposed to be in the house of the Lord today and you went fishing, you're worshiping your God, and it's not Jehovah. If you were supposed to be in the house of the Lord today and you let something keep you awake, there's a person that came here today, got up out of a sick bed, came here today, said, I'm going to be in the house of the Lord. I've got a duty to perform in the temple, and I'm going to be there. And you know what? We're going to get into this in just a little bit. But some of you all are playing so loosely with the Lord, you may get shook off when the rapture happens, and you may be thinking, hey, I thought I was going up. And Jesus is going to say, I don't know you. Because if he's the best thing that ever happened to you, why are you leaving him behind? Oh, the best thing that ever happened to me was getting saved, giving my heart to Jesus. You know, there's some Christians today that don't believe that. If the best thing that ever happened to you was transferring your eternal destination from hell to heaven and eternity with the Lord, then I don't know. I don't think that we can help you. You may be part of that apostate crowd that has a hardness of heart and a stiffened neck, and you may be one of those that are on your way to hell or in spite of yourself. Because it was the greatest thing when he found me. And by the way, let me just correct that bad theology. You didn't find Jesus. Let's be honest, you weren't even looking for him. You weren't even looking for him. You may have had a rocky period. Remember what John Bevere said? His dad took him to see a movie, and it literally scared him to death. And for about 2 weeks, he was right living as close as he could, doing everything he could, but it never affected his heart. And after 2 weeks, he was right back out in the world doing the things that he did in the world. There was no stick-to-itiveness. There was no staying power. When you get truly born again, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you, and you can't not but help want to be in the house of the Lord on the Lord's day. You can let everything else go by the wayside, because just like Mary and Martha, you know, why don't you make your my sister, she's in there, you know, she's in there, she's out there with you, and she's worshiping you, and she's having a time with you, and there's nobody to help me cook, and I've got some big job to do. And you know what Jesus told her? He told her, he said, she has chosen the important thing. Amen. What have you chosen today, church? I'm thankful for those of you here who have chosen the important thing, the weightier matter. Well, I'm sorry, I just can't get there, and I realize there are people in the hospital and can't get here. But I also know there were sick people that were offered rides. Well, I don't want to put you out. You ain't putting us out. It's our duty. We'd love to introduce you to Jesus. Amen. We'd love to bring you to the house of the Lord. Amen. We'd love to introduce you to Jehovah Rapha. We'd love to introduce you to the healer. We'd love to introduce you to the provider. We'd love to introduce you to the peace.
Yes. Amen.
Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom. We'd love to introduce you to the King. And I ain't talking Elvis, baby. There's another guy, changed his name. He's a non-educated athlete, and he changed his name to King James. I thought that was pretty silly. We don't have no kings in America. Mm-hmm. You just made yourself worth less, because we're a sovereign nation. We don't have no kings. The only king we serve is Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Give me that first slide. Let's go into this is important. This is our verse for 2022. And I don't know about you guys, but it changed my perspective on a lot. Because when I started seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that very moment, things started being added to me. I started getting added. All of a sudden, all these things, what are all these things? He started adding things to me. He started adding boldness and taking away fear. I'm not troubled by what's going on in the world because Jesus said you'll have wars and rumors of wars. I'm not troubled by that. Jesus got it. I'm not troubled by the rising inflation. By the way, do you realize now that with inflation encroaching 8.5% and the loans being at 2% and less, they're actually paying you to take out a loan? Now think about that for a minute. You go down to the bank and you say, I'd like to have me a loan. Well, we're kind of afraid because it's at 8.5%. Well, what's your interest rate? If you're gonna comp for inflation, what's your interest rate? Well, we're gonna give you this loan for 1.75%. Now wait a minute. Now I'm not the sharpest crayon in the box. But I know you can't pay 8.5% for it and loan it to me for 1.75% and make any money. Something ain't right. We're getting ready. We're fixing to read where the Lord loves a balanced scale. Hang on, in the daily fire, it's coming. We're getting ready to understand how He loves a plumb line that's true and a balanced scale. And let me just tell you, some of you are going to be, weighed in the balance, and I hope you're not like Belshazzar and found wanting. Oh, we don't believe that part of the Bible anymore. Pastor, what are you talking about? That was way back in Daniel's time. What are you talking about? You've been weighed in the balance and found wanting. There are some who have been sold a bill of goods. And if they would have cracked it open, just crack it open. You know, I don't care what the TV preacher's telling you.
That's right.
You've got it in front of you. There's free Bibles. There's over 10,000 free Bibles. Now be careful. Those of you coming here on Sunday nights, you realize there's some bad Bibles out there. I showed some people on Wednesday night. I made a comment on Sunday night. Not everything that calls itself the Bible is worthy to be in your library. And I hope that some of what we are showing on Sunday nights, because there are some bad commentators that put bad thoughts in a good Bible, adding to the Word. Wouldn't want to stand before the Lord that day. So, anyway, Matthew 6 and 33, our verse for the year. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you.
Hallelujah.
Amen? Is there anybody, the Bible says they overcame him by the word of the Lamb and by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Is there anybody that can testify that when you started seeking the Lord and His righteousness, that He started adding things to you?
Amen.
Yeah? Isn't it amazing how the word of God works?
Hallelujah.
And it does.
Right.
Some 6,000 years in the making, and it's still as viable, and it's still as truthful, and it's still as effective today in the lives of believers if we will just apply it. You've got to get in it. You've got to get in the Word of God. Go with me to John chapter 14, the Gospel of John chapter 14. I begin reading in the first verse. For those of you who are on the same page with me, it's on 16:02. I won't say the right Bible because some of you got the right Bible in the wrong year, and they changed some pages. So I'll just leave that go. Brother Glenn will say it when he gets here, and we won't none have his Bible, and we'll be like, oh, okay.
Amen.
You know, we need to understand. that Jesus is going to tell us here. He goes, I'm not going to leave you orphans. You're not going to have to try to figure out what's going on in your own life, and you're not going to have to figure out what's going on in the world. You're not going to have to try to figure it out. You've got a Heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit that indwells you and loves you enough to, one, tell us what's going to happen before it happens, and then, two, walk with us while it happens. How cool is that? Amen? I remember, I'm thinking about it. My granddaughter just turned 4, and I remember the time when her daddy, we put him on the school bus for the very first time. Boy, that was a hard time. I mean, we're standing out there in the front of our house, and this little 5-year-old kid, he was sitting there, and he was all ready to go, and he was excited because some of his friends on the street were excited, and he was all excited. And the next thing you know, that big yellow cracker box pulled up, and the door swung open. And what did he do? He turned around and said, "No, no, 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 no." His big sister did something similar. Except we ended up driving her. What? And I don't know, Mr. Jones. I don't want to get on the bus with Mr. Jones. Amen. Got an amen out of there. All right, praise God. All right. But Jesus left us instructions for our difficult times. Seriously, He said, I'm not going to leave you orphans. And these, today, if I were to title this message, it's Jesus' instructions for the difficult times. How many of us have been through some difficult times? And how many of you watching on the broadcast today have been going through difficult times? Do you realize that there's a clear path out of those difficult times? And it is if you'll just believe the word, one, that you have to read, and two, let it get in you and begin to work. Because the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It'll cut away all the confusion. It'll cut away all the stuff that's thrown. It'll guard you from the flack that the enemy throws you, that only tries to throw you into deep confusion. There are some people who were on the right track, but because some flack got in, they are now walking not contrary, but lagging behind. Do you realize what happened after the children of Israel, when the cloud of smoke, the pillar of smoke moved, or the cloud moved during the day, or the pillar of fire during night? Do you realize what happened if they didn't move with the moving of the cloud? They were left behind, and many of them were cut off. Anybody ever watched the Discovery Channel? I mean, we've never, how many of you have been to an African safari? Now, they don't let people do that too much anymore, but you watch the Discovery Channel or Animal Planet, and you'll see that's why the Lord called the devil a roaring lion, because they wait, they're patient. They watch as the crowd moves on, and they look for the weak, the unnourished, And the young. And then they use the law of the jungle. One of you thinks it's a strong survive, but it's divide and conquer. When we fall behind, when we fall behind in our Bible reading, when we fall behind in our prayer life, when we fall behind in just coming, as Hebrews 10:25 says, and not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, even much more so as we see that day, what day? The day of the Lord approaching, which is the custom of some. When we fall behind, we can expect our devil, who roams around, we saw it in both Job, and we see it again in the New Testament, that he's going to and fro in the earth, seeking whom he may devour. And who's he trying to devour? God's children. My grandpa said he didn't have to work on the lost. He's already got them. How many times you see, you'll see people that lost don't know the Lord, wouldn't know the Lord if he jumped up and down, and in their face and said, "Hey, I'm here." "Oh, the devil's just been really fighting me." What do you mean? You surrendered to the devil a long time ago. He's not fighting you. He's got you. You're in his camp. Right? All right. Jesus' instruction for the difficult times. And the title of this passage, the title of this section, says the way, the truth, and the life. The way, the truth, and the life. What does that mean when somebody says the way? That means that other people will try to present multiple ways. Right? Have you tried behind door number one? Have you tried behind door number two? Have you tried? No. Jesus said, "I am the way. I don't need to look beyond there." That's why the Apostle Paul said, I don't need to know anything except Christ and Him crucified, coming again, the hope of glory, and I'm good. Bingo. The way. Right? Okay. Chapter number 14, verse number 1 in John's Gospel. "Let not your heart be troubled." Let's ponder that for a minute. Jesus says, "Let not," or in one translation it says, "Do not let your heart be troubled." What's the implication? Who controls whether we're troubled in our spirit or not? Yeah. He's talking to believers. You have the authority either to buy into the trouble or not. Didn't Solomon just teach us this past week in our weekly reading, don't be a surety for a stranger? Because if you do, you're buying trouble. There's a lot of things that we can do in our life that buy into trouble. But Jesus said, "Do not let your heart be troubled." Sometimes you need to be like that lady whose apartment was on fire, and you need to just stop saying, "Ain't nobody got time for that." I see some of you seen that. "Ain't nobody got time for that." She said the apartment's on fire and it's going to fire. I got to get out of there. I got to get my Pepsi. Ain't nobody got time. Yeah. If you haven't seen it, see Ashley. She'll send you a YouTube. He says, "You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for..." Yeah. You. We need to take Brother Glenn's advice. Whenever we see "you" or "your" or a personal pronoun in there, we should read it like this. "Let not JC's heart be troubled. JC believes in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told JC. I go to prepare a place for JC. And if I go and prepare a place for JC, I will come again and receive JC to myself, that where I am, there JC may be also." Amen? How does that change your perspective on the Word of God? When you start making it, Paul, when you start saying the Lord cares about me and He loves me and He has my best interest at heart, and when we start reading the Bible from a personal perspective, because every preacher I've ever heard said, "It's God's love letter to you." Well, why are we reading somebody else's name in it? The only person I ever knew that done that and enjoyed that was my mom. As a young fellow, girls would write me notes, and inevitably, I would run into the bathroom at home, and had one girl give me a note right on the bus. I'm leaving you. And she goes, hey, here, you know. So I take that note. Now, if I'm the only one that ever did this, that's fine, but I'm expecting some amens from the men around here. Put it in my pocket. And I went in, mom goes, how's the school? How's it going? I said, okay, I'll be right back. And the only place, I mean, you guys watched A Christmas Story, right? The only place that a young boy can get any privacy at all is in the bathroom. Because every place else, mom opens up the door. You know, and you better not make her knock twice at the bathroom at that point. You know, back in my day, you know. Amen. I diapered that, bud. I ain't cared to look at it, you know, anyway. I don't know how many of you ever said that, but I love my mama. So anyway. And one time, or two, I happened to leave one of those, because you always had to wash your hands, you know, so I didn't want to get wet. So I left it on the side of the shower, the tub there. And guess who followed me in there? Now, there was nothing risque. There wasn't nothing naughty. There was no sexting or any of that. Most kids today get so spun out by that. It was just, I think you're cute. Do you like me? Yes or no? Check the box. You know, and give it back to me tomorrow on the bus. Do you think I'm cute? I think you're cute. Do you think I'm cute? You know, really, you know, cuteness and guys, come on. So my mom come back and she goes, which one are you going to check? And I'm like, huh? Busted right there. Which one are you going to check? And you got to give it back to her in the morning. This is better than your homework. And I'm like, oh, mom. That was private. She goes, then you shouldn't have left it in a public place. Just talking to all you Facebook people out there. If it's private, don't leave it in a public place. Amen. Ain't nobody need to see your business out there. Y'all wondered where that was going, didn't you? Y'all be careful. When you allow the Bible to be the love letter to you, don't read somebody else's name into it. It's to you. The Word of God is to you. And Jesus has given us instructions to get through difficult times if we'll read it for ourselves. Amen. All right? And where I go, you know. And the way, you know. Now, I want to show you something in this next verse here. Because there was one who was with him for almost 3.5 years, we calculate. There was one who was with him for almost 3.5 years. And he, Thomas, said, Lord, we do not know where you are going. And how can we know the way? Do you suppose that the man, Jesus, not I'm not talking about God, but the man, the Son of Man, do you suppose he was a little frustrated by that? Well, we can read his response, right? Jesus said to him, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. In another passage, he said, how long have you been with me? Have I been with you so long and you still don't understand? Right? And so Jesus was like, really? Too many people. Now, they used to say this back in Bible college days. They used to say, oh, man, you can't trust that person. He's so heavenly minded, he's no earthly good. Well, I tell you what, I'd rather have my mind on heaven because heaven's getting really close. Rather have my mind on heavenly things. You keep your mind on things above and the things below can't weigh you down. I'll just throw that out there for free. You know, you don't need to send me nasty emails, but keep our minds on things above. Amen? Amen. He said, and if you had known me, you would have known my Father. Ouch. Ouch. You mean right here up against the end? Thomas is still wondering about Jesus and who all this was all about. Do you realize there are people who have been in church for 40, 50 years and they're still trying to figure out who it's all about? There are people still trying to figure out, is Jesus really the way? There are people trying to figure out, gosh, I just don't know. Maybe Buddha's got it. Maybe Muhammad's got it. Maybe Hare Krishna's got it. You know, maybe one of them have it. And there's a good post going around on Facebook. They said, I don't know. We're still seeking. I'm not him. I'm not the one. But Jesus said, he's the only one of all the world's religions that said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the only one that made that claim. He's the only one. He said, if you'd have known me, you would have known my Father. Also, from now on, you know him and have been and have seen him. Whew. Whoa. Whoa. You see, that's why that guy in that commentary, that Bible that I showed on Wednesday night, that's why he's a liar. That's why he's apostate. Because Jesus, just right in John's gospel, he said, and from now on. He didn't say from now until the Holy Spirit comes. He didn't say from now until you get saved. Didn't say from now. He said from now on. That's an open-ended invitation for us to know the Father and be seen by him. And we have seen him. Man, I'm sorry for them non-spirit-filled people. You know, I'm sorry for some of those people that are so educated that all their knowledge and all their wisdom is choking out their heart. They're gagging over gnats and swallowing camels. Again, Jesus. I'm just quoting Jesus. You know, I don't want to do anything but just quote him. And Philip said to him, now watch this. Boy, you got to love Philip, man. Philip, and he was sitting there by Thomas, you know, Thomas and Philip, you know, they you know, birds of a feather kind of flock together. Right? Thomas is like, oh, where are you going? You know, I'm just here to feed the thousands, to do the miracles. I'm just here to, you know, not very long after this, he was gonna wind up in a garden, and they were all gonna run and leave him. Philip, sitting probably on the same side of the room, said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it's sufficient for us. Lord, show us the Father. All we need to see is your dad. Who's your daddy? How many times does the Lord have to make it clear, then clearer, then clearer, and then re-clear? Jesus said, have I been with you so long? And yet, you have not known me. There's some people that have been in church their whole life and they don't know him. They have an idea of him. They have an image of him in their mind. They have a concept of him, but they don't know him. And those are the ones that Jesus is going to turn to on that day and say, depart from me because I don't know you. Amen? And yet you say, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He poses it in a question form. He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? How can you say that? Show us the Father. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? And that the words that I speak that I speak to you, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. The Father indwelling us does the work. Well, I had a guy tell me one time, well, I just don't know. I just can't hang on. I just don't believe that Jesus is enough. Well, why don't you get filled with the Holy Ghost and you'll have enough? Why don't you let Jesus down on the inside rather than keeping him up here locked in your mental prison? Why don't you allow Jesus to get down into your heart and you'll find out that he is still the chain breaking. He's still the burden lifting. He's still the wall shaking, the earthquake forming. He's still the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the healer and our Messiah and soon returning King. Getting past here and quit trying to analyze and think about him and quit trying. If you allow him into your heart, the Holy Spirit, your Bible says, will show you things, deep things, unsearchable things of the Lord God himself. The Holy Spirit in you. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Now either you can choose to believe that Jesus is in the Father and the Father's in him, or just believe by the works that he did. I'm going to mess with that "what would Jesus do" crowd right here. Can I just, okay? Can I rattle their chain a little bit for a minute? I see so, you know, used to, it was really, really, really popular. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? And they, man, they felt a bond. They put a WWJD bracelet on or a WWJD shirt on, and man, they felt a bond. Oh. Too bad most of them wouldn't even do the first thing that Jesus did, let alone any of the others. You see, Jesus crucified self. He took up his cross. And by the way, that's the same thing he's asking believers to do. Crucify yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. Follow after me. But we can't get self off the throne of our lives. We can't get self off the thrones. We got self up there on the throne. And until we knock self off the throne and say, Lord, I've made a mess. Lord, everything I put my hand to, I've had some success, but I've not had the success that they're talking about. I've certainly not had that Matthew chapter 6:33 success because I'm not looking after your righteousness. I don't really care to be righteous. I just don't want to go to hell. I don't want the righteous part of God. I just want the fire insurance part of God. Remember what I said before we went alive. You can have as much as the Lord as you're willing to partake. You get out what you put in. There's not many of those, $1 stocks of IBM left that have quadrupled in bazillion times over. Penny stocks. Most people want to play penny stocks with God. But let me just tell you something. If you're sold out and you're bought with a price, you can't be a penny stock investor in the Lord. You got to be all in. It's all or nothing. And then he'll give it back to you, right? Now I know there are people out there and one of them, one devil woman took a bunch of people out of the church because, I don't believe in that tithing stuff. Well, you're wrong. You're a liar. You're an apostate. You're a false prophetess. And those who believed you are on the way to darkness because of you. And I'm just going to be honest. I got to be honest with you. You took part out of what the Word of God put in, and you took it out. So your name is going to be removed, what he said in Revelation. Woe be unto those who cause one of these little ones to stumble. I've been thinking about that. I'm working on that. It may be a Wednesday night message when nobody tunes in. Because there are people out there that are seriously causing people, believers who are of little faith, to stumble. And Jesus said, woe And when Jesus says, whoa, it's not like, whoa, or whoa, or whoa. It was like, whoa. Whoa has changed meanings. You know, whoa is not like, whoa, that's awesome. It's like, whoa, that's dreadful. And Jesus said, woe be unto those who cause one of these little ones of little faith to stumble. He said it would be better that a millstone would be hanging around their neck and they be cast into the sea than to offend one of these little ones. There's a payday coming. There's a day coming, as we said, that as Belshazzar got the articles of the temple. He went and got the gold goblets, and he went and got the... Now, you would have thought that he wouldn't have done that after his dad had spent 7 years in the field eating grass like an ox, to where the hair on his on his head matted and the dew formed in it like feathers. You would have thought, hey, you know what? Dad's a good example of how not to do it, so I'm not going to do it. But sons often take their own path. And sometimes they blind themselves. They blind their eyes to their father's mistakes, and they want to relive them and rehash them. All of a sudden, after they were drunk, he saw a vision of a man's hand, and it was writing in the stone on the wall, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin, which is to say, you have been weighed in the balance and are found wanting. You're weighed in the balance. The Lord said, don't forsake the assembling of yourself together. You're weighed in the balance. This was your chair. This was your place. And for all eternity, why, you may ask, if you don't get right with the Lord, why wasn't I in my chair on Sunday, March 27th, 2022? There were bad things happening in the world. I kept telling everybody, I don't know what's going on. Why wasn't I here where I could find hope and peace and joy and healing and love in the house of the Lord? Why wasn't I there? I would hate in 500 years you to be lamenting why I wasn't there. Next scripture. Most assuredly, I say to you that he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Verse number 15 is powerful. Because a lot of times we just read over this. We just kind of glaze over it and say, okay, let's get down to the good stuff. We want to know about the mansions. We want to know about the... He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. A lot of people think, well, that's the 10. The 10 lead you to salvation. The 10 are God's law that's written in your conscience. It's hardwired. Those are the ones that lead you to understand that you need a Savior. How many of you ever read the passage and Jesus said, I leave you a new commandment? Right? To love your neighbor as yourself, right? Do unto others. I leave you a new commandment. Were you aware that not only did Jesus add one, but there are 33 commands that Jesus gave to us in his word. How can I say I love Jesus when I don't even know his commandments? Wow. Man, 8 words that just got deep as the big ocean. How can I say I love him when Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments? How can I even say I love him when I don't even know his commandments? Well, they're the 10. Those are unto salvation. Jesus gave us additional ones as his disciples. All right? Next verse. John chapter 15. I've got to hurry. John chapter 15. I'm going to begin reading in the first verse. And again, Jesus makes one of these statements. He says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. If Jesus is telling you that he's the true vine, what's that implying? There are fake vines. There can be false vines. Do you realize that the vines that they plant on the wall at Wrigley Field, some of those are 50, 60, 70, maybe 80 years old, but they have to replace them every now and again? They never replace those vines. Now see, I think that if they would replace them with poison ivy, they would never have to replace them because it reseeds itself. But there would be no outfielder ever running toward the wall. And those bleacher seats out there would become a lot less unpopular if poison ivy was blowing in the wind and the spores could get all over everybody, right? So there are different types of vines, would you agree? But Jesus said, I am the true vine. You gotta make sure you're not attaching yourself to the one of the many false vines. Amen? And my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it might bear fruit. More fruit. There have been some taken away because they just were unfruitful. Boy, this is a heavy message, but I want you to see this. We need to quit playing games with God. We need to quit playing games with the Lord. We need to quit buying into that theory of cheap grace and I can just go out and do whatever I want and I can ask God to forgive me and I can hit, and he has to do it. He's contractually bound to do it. And I've got to go, no. The Bible's very, every branch in me that does not bear fruit. What is the fruit of a believer? What's the fruit of an apple tree? What's the fruit of a pear tree?
Pears.
Pears, right? Pears. I don't plant a pear tree expecting to get peaches. I'm going to miss those peach trees. Hell, give me some new ones. Again, what's the fruit of an apple tree? What is the fruit, and you're going to see it here, of a foaling mare? A horse. A colt. What is the fruit of a billy goat and a she goat? A goat, a kid. Kid. Sheep. What is the fruit of a bull and a cow? Why do we not have an understanding of what the fruit of a believer is? Could it be that this passage has become such an enigma that we don't understand that Jesus gave us commandments and we don't even understand what the fruit of a Christian is? We may not be where we think we are if we can't answer the simple questions of that we have to bear more fruit. Because if it doesn't bear fruit, then the vine dresser comes and he says, you know what, this is an unproductive branch. There it goes. Take it over and throw it in the fire. And then every branch that bears fruit. Now see, I think that modern manufacturing and modern business has got this and they've utilized it way too much because the one person that does the job, they give him more to do because they know he'll get it done. right? We were in a place the other night where we were the last person that lady was going to help, and she says, I ain't sticking around till closing. Been here. I opened the store. Ain't sticking around here till closing. I'm shutting her down and going home. They called in sick. That's on them. I'm like, well, Lord bless you. They can't expect me to work no 14-hour days. All right, well, Lord bless you. You see, what we get into I'm going to talk about American Christians because I know them. When we get into American Christians, we get that safe auto brand of Christianity when the bare minimum is all you want. When the bare minimum, you don't really care about a relationship with the true and living God. You just don't want to go to hell. And you know what that does? That generates guilt and condemnation. Because instead of saying, you know what? As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, on the Lord's Day, we're going to be in His, as our custom is. Isn't it about time that some of the believers that follow after Jesus Christ should say, we should be able to say about them, as their custom was, on the Lord's Day, they're in the house of God. Amen. That's what they said about Jesus, right? As was His custom. What's your custom? What's in your heart wallet? Who are you going to call?
Jesus.
You know, everybody's going to call His name. If every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, that means everybody's going to call on Jesus, even those of you who say you ain't. But I got news for you. You don't know everything. At least in that respect, you don't know everything. You can't think. But the Word says, and as it is written, so will it be. Right? All right. He said, you're already clean because of the Word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. So abiding, we've had a study on this, so I won't go too deep into it, but if we're abiding somewhere, you know, this past week we turned over the keys to a place that we lived for 30 some years. We don't abide there no more. Matter of fact, it'd be a little awkward if we were to try to go and say, hey, we just wanted to sit down on the couch for a little bit and take out the sights, you know. You know what they'd say? If you loved it that much, why did you sell it? I'll just let that simmer right there for a minute. If you loved your past life so much, why do you keep doing this? Evidently, there ain't nothing back there. If you love the Lord so much, are you still entangled in the world? Jesus said, abide in me and let me abide in you. Right? As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. That means that we're going to have to let go of some stuff. We had a mulberry bush at our old place, and it had grown up in the fence, and it had weaved its way through the fence. And one of the lowest limbs, I mean, that thing was about yay big, and it was on the neighbor's property, so we just had to let go. But at the back of the fence, they had a shed, a utility shed, and it was real close. I mean, probably this 8 to 10 inches away, and he had put lumber back there. And you know, the hardest thing that to see was that mulberry bush trying to produce fruit with the skids and the lumber in the way. Every other branch had plenty of fruit on it, But those ones that had weaved their way down in the fence and back behind, the ones that tried to take the more stressful route, the ones that tried to find their own path, the ones to try to say, well, I'm okay, I don't need to be up there with you, I'm going to go right here, they never had mulberries. And then finally, when he went to get the lumber out, had to cut the mulberry tree. And I tell you what, them birds love those mulberries. You know, I got all the neighbor kids. I showed them one. They weren't poison, and they won't, you know, they won't hurt you. And had a few kids that would come back there and get mulberries. And we found purple handprints everywhere. And we said, okay, enough mulberries for you. And, you know, and their moms asked, what are you feeding our children when they're over at your house? Well, it's not little green apples. We got to abide in the Lord. Right? If we're going to bear fruit, if we're going to, after we figure out who he is, and after we know who he is and know that he is in the Father and the Father's in him and they're in us, now we've got to understand that we got to keep his commandments. If we're going to say we love him, we got to keep his commandments. Right? And then, if we're going to be producing fruit, we got to abide in him. That's the only way to produce fruit. No other way. There's no other way. We cannot bear fruit in and of ourselves. And Jesus said in verse number 5, he says, I'm the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and me in him bears, Jesus is calling some people out this morning. I don't care if you led somebody to the Lord at a Christian concert back in 1990. Sorry. That's not considered much fruit. We need to quit worrying so much about how people are going to perceive us and start worrying about what Jesus said. Because in another passage, he said that the shears were laid at the root. Remember, he said, for the last 3 years, I've come seeking fruit off of this tree. Why is it taking up space in my garden? Amen? And not only just fruit, he wants much fruit. For without me, Jesus says, you can do nothing. So how can you tell that somebody doesn't have any Jesus in their life? They ain't doing nothing. Some of them been doing it for 40 years. Nothing. But you ask them, oh, I love Jesus. Do tell. Tell me how you love him. Tell me how you serve him. Tell me how he saved you from a devil's hell. Do tell. Because I ain't seeing it. Well, now, Pastor, you're judging. No, I'm not judging. But Jesus told us by their fruits, you'll know them. And Jesus wrote this way before the politically correct and the woke crowd came. There's some of you been identifying as a Christian, and you have no more right to claim that than a man does in women's sports. Well, I just got the rest of the... Just got the rest of the internet. See you, Facebook. All right, I don't care. If anyone does not abide in me, he's given a timeout and told that he's gonna no? If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they're dead. Wow. See, it's all real good when he was talking to us about being branches and bearing much fruit, but there is a consequences to this journey. He's expecting much fruit out of those of us who claim the name of Christ. And if we're not bearing fruit, That's not a pretty end. And we are trying every week. We're trying to encourage and prod people on to get in their word, to get in the body, to get active and to come alongside the Lord and to begin to bear fruit, get attached to the vine, quit being attached to those around it. You know, there was an old gourd that we planted one time out beside the garden, and it had made its way. Now we at a certain point in time, we quit mowing right up beside the garden, you know, and we just have to, but there was an old gourd at the corner of the garden, and he made his way in. You know how they'll do that? They'll spread out. And when he got into the garden, I couldn't tell him from some of the cucumbers because the leaves looked the same. And I'm like, oh no, is that that had a big old bloom on it. Part was in the garden, part of him was out. And he looked to be cucumber. Those big, burpless ones. Big old greenies, you know. Except when the bloom dropped off, and the fruit started to develop, he didn't look like a cucumber. But lo and behold unto me, there was a lot of fruit on his vine that wasn't the desired fruit. Do you realize when Jesus told the parable about the tares and the wheat, he said a good man planted good seed in his field, and in while he slept, his enemy, his adversary came and sowed tares into the field, and they both sprang up. And then his workers said, Master, didn't you sow good wheat? What did you do? Did you buy that at Dollar General? Well, I'm sorry, not Dollar General. Where did you get that seed? Was that reputable seed? Was that good seed? Well, yes, I've only planted the best. Well, here are tares. What do we do? Do you want us to go through the field and pluck them out? No. Because in doing so, you're going to pluck out some of the wheat, the tender shoots of wheat. Leave them alone. Leave them alone. And at the harvest, the harvesters will separate the wheat and put it in one side, and the tares they'll separate out and they'll throw them into the fire. They'll be burned up. You may be in church. You may be looking all fine. But the master knows if you're tare or you're wheat. And you have a definite different ending than does the wheat. You may think all's well. I'm in the garden. I'm in the field with the wheat. I'm in with the saved. I'm in with the righteous. And you don't have to. You're just, the only thing you're doing is just biding time until the Lord comes, and the Lord will know the difference. The master of the harvest is coming, and he knows the difference. You say, well, why aren't they telling me this? Because us workers are to leave you alone. And at the harvest. And the harvest is coming. Amen? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear, again, much fruit. So you will be my disciples. Do you get that correlation? I'm going to stop here for time's sake. It's not that you're bearing fruit. That gourd bared fruit. Those tares are going to bear fruit. But it's that if you want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, you have to bear much fruit. It's not time to rest on our laurels, folks. This world is in need of hope that is only found in the way, the truth, and the life. And we are called to point you to the way, Jesus, the truth, Jesus, and the life, Jesus. That's our only call. Are you bearing much fruit? Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Did you really even realize that he gave you commandments? I think some of our friends that are Jesus only don't even realize that. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And then he said, you'll bear fruit. But not only won't bear just one fruit. In the 30 years that we lived there, about 20 of them, we had a tree out back. And in all that time, it bore one cherry. And a non-edible cherry at that. You couldn't eat it. Matter of fact, you know what happens? You know what the cherry groves do when the harvest time comes? You know what they do? They go and put nets up over their trees to keep the birds out because the birds want to eat them. Even the birds left this thing alone. It is nasty. That's not what I call much fruit. That's not what I call good fruit. We'll get back into this on Wednesday night. Fruit, much fruit, and good fruit. Amen? God bless you. If you're watching today, I hope that something we said has encouraged you to begin to attach yourself to the Lord so that you can bear good fruit. Amen? God bless you. Come back and be with us Wednesday evening. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you have any questions or would like to reach out to us here at the River, you can email us at study@riverwc.org. Again, that's email to study@riverwc.org. God bless you.